Yeah, that's still not getting permission.
Welcome to Nerdy Bored in Almost 30. This is California. Yeah, this is California.
You have to get permission.
No.
Thank you for consenting, both of you, before we started the recording. This is Nerdy Bored in Almost... Shut up.
This will be recorded.
Yeah, that's what it says.
That's because you say something's going to happen. Doesn't mean someone consents to it.
Then hang up the phone.
Yeah, you choose to continue to speak. Yeah.
I am not on a phone, America. I am here.
Hello? Hi, this is Nerdy Bored in Almost 30. Continue talking if you want to be recorded. Thank you. Anyways, this is Nerdy Bored in Almost 30. We just came back from the movie It, and we got a lot of things to discuss.
No.
We got plenty of things to talk about.
Ten like, things. I'm going to record which they are. Which they are.
What are you... You're going to record on your phone?
Double damn
record.
Right.
That's what you get...
Okay, that's
I'm
fine.
Gonna get you.
Well, you can use
nerdy, dirty, 30.
Hell yeah.
Copyrighted stuff. Patented.
What were we just talking about when, like, started recording?
How I don't agree to be recorded.
You know, we were talking about trans.
Oh, we're talking about how great Planned Parenthood is.
Yes.
They're very, just generally queer friendly.
So, yeah. I did
Can
not
I
know
that.
That
instead of all of the letters.
I think so.
No. Are these nerds? Michael, I'm going to eat your nerds.
I'm here as a...
Yeah, you're like a...
gatekeeper of terms.
I'm here as a pretty much mostly white, gay, cis person. I'm going to tell you what you can say about all the others.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm eating your nerds.
I eat my nerds, you nerd.
I've had candy forever.
So while... I would say while... There is a population that does not identify or does not appreciate the word queer because of its history as a derogatory term. I think that there is a significant portion of general community that appreciates it as an umbrella term to refer to essentially non-straight, non-cis, non-straight people, and that is very inclusive, and I find that warm and comfy.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I find it convenient.
Yeah, I feel like functionally
it's
easy.
Like,
yeah.
Reclamation of a slur, because like we can totally do that.
I didn't want to put the ball in your court as like this is why it's good. It's because straight people like it.
Well,
but...
it's convenient, and I know what it means, and I'm not saying it maliciously. But I also don't want it to be interpreted as malicious. But wanted to get a single person's opinion.
Did you just call me single?
Wow. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
You like partnerist? You piece of shit.
How dare you?
We're all single on the internet.
No, I think you meant slut.
Yeah, you're
all sluts on the internet.
I just wanted the opinion of one slut. Is that better? Oh, told you.
Oh, now you're getting undressed when she calls you a slut?
I mean,
wow.
Yeah, I guess.
It's like when a snail gets like salt on it. It's just like.
They get nude?
Yeah, that's what happens.
No, they
prove it.
Okay. Okay, Ms. Snail, fucking ornithologist. I don't know, whatever. Snailithologist.
What is an ornithologist?
What is an ornithologist?
That's birds.
And that's what snails are, so obviously...
That's what
not,
snails eat.
They are not birds.
What are not birds?
Snails.
Snails are not birds.
Mate.
That is true.
I cannot
confirm birds.
I think that's a vast oversimplification of snail terminology, and I think that you're going to eat your words at some point when somebody...
You're
going to
define
birds. Snails
yeah,
as
like,
birds to me at some point during this conversation.
In terms of like spatial categorization, I think you've like really transgressed a boundary that should not be... Like, you haven't spoken to each snail and asked them whether or not they're, like, actually aviary.
Oh, excuse me. Excuse me for assuming their species.
I know. You do what you want to do.
I'll excuse you. That's fine. We decided
they're
what
fucking
species
snails.
Are. That's what we do.
They are
do
not birds.
Aristotle was like, you're that, and you're this.
Oh, some old white guy said what everybody was?
Do you know what science is? Because yes, that's what happened. That's precisely what happened.
Have you heard of institutional bias in sciences?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, well then shut up.
So shut up.
So shut
woman.
Up. We're just gonna do away with all of science. Fuck that. White people made it.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore.
Didn't you see the movie we just saw? He had a leather case made by Native Americans that beat up a white clown.
They did Mike so dirty. They made him look like
a mean
idiot.
He was kind of stupid.
Yeah. Oh, you lied to us all the time. And you like stole from Native Americans and then told them that they were dumb because they didn't believe
tell him, Mike.
Their own ritual.
Tell him why it didn't work. Yeah.
Like, what?
I don't remember that part.
It happened.
I know. I remember.
I don't remember.
He like, made his own little
parts.
Leather bag because he thought his friends would believe.
What did work?
I didn't get it. He's like, hey, we put all our baggage into this trash can and hope the clown dies.
The ending was really confusing.
Well, I also thought that, like, I thought it was silly that, like, okay, that didn't work. This, like, thing that you've been building up to for 27 years. But the thing we made up in 5 minutes did work.
Oh,
like,
make him feel small.
Yeah.
You're a clown.
And,
yeah.
Like, then, That's, I don't know, like, it's fine. Like, I get the idea of, like, you are taking the objects or, like, the figments of, like, your trauma and, like recontextualizing them to, like, you actually don't matter and I'm gonna make you feel small so that I can feel, like, more powerful over you. Like, that's all fine. I just thought it was silly the way that it happened. Like, It happening that way, like...
The trigger moment when they realize it will seem kind of, like, out of... Like, I'd be freaking out with a giant fucking crab clown and chasing
yeah,
me. I'm like, not gonna be like, haha, you're dumb,
in
you
the
big crab. You killed my friend Eddie, but
in the first
whatever.
Movie, in the first movie, like, they go to the house, right? And they fight it, and it's very significant, and they do realize some truths where they're like, it won't... It's like it has a problem just killing something that isn't fearful, right?
Yeah.
Like, it has this problem. It's a disconnect when, like, things start recognizing that it's not real and it's, like, it's not as important as, like, it wants to be.
Right, when they start giving it power.
Yeah. And
that's
then, like, that momentum stops. And then they go back and then have, like, the bigger drawn-out fight, right? Like, why couldn't they do that with this movie, too? Like, why couldn't they have the same kind of rhythm? The problem was, like, its individual moments, like, took over so much precedent in the movie. Like, that was, like, a huge middle chunk where each individual had its, like,
yeah, I was talking to her about, like, there's, like, the three different acts were very well delineated, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, you had, like, them, like, getting back together and remembering each other. Then you had, like, okay, now they've got a mission. They all have to find their artifact. And that was, like, the second act. And the third act was, like, okay, we chase it down to the rabbit hole. And all this preparation didn't mean anything because Bill just decided he's going to go into the sewer.
Yeah. It, like, and I know, obviously, like, everyone's like, oh, my God, sorry to be a long movie. But, like, it kind of lent itself to, like, having one final act.
Yeah.
Like, of just, like let's still have the Mike fuck-up moment of, like, you all bought into this and it's actually bullshit. We escape. Like, fucked up and being like, I don't, like, we obviously can't fucking do what we wanted to do, but somehow, you know, they come to a realization that, like, it's not this random ritual that just needs to happen that has no actual significance to
yeah.
us. It's about us taking these problems and actually realizing that,
like, working through their own trauma,
yeah, like, realizing, like, what they contribute to their own trauma, you know, and they do that to a degree, but, like, it's I don't know, it's, like, it's, I don't think it's enough of a connect, you know, and, like,
well, so
the actual final, like, solution.
I think it's really hard to make that, like, so what I got from the movie, like, what I got what they were trying to, like, say with it was that, like, okay, the it thing
mm-hmm.
uses your own fears and your own, like, feelings of insignificance against you to make you fearful, and then it can consume you. And the, like, the inverse was also true, right? Like, its attack was its weakness, where, like, okay, once you start making it feel small, now you can, like, consume it and destroy
mm-hmm.
it. Because that's how it, like, there's that scene with, like, the little girl with the pock face or whatever, And he's like, oh, that's not a big deal or whatever. And that was kind of confusing for me because it doesn't follow that pattern.
Yeah, no, I know, exactly. I thought that too at this, once I digested, that idea of, like, initially, like, oh, it was subversion of your expectations, right?
Yeah.
Because she was, like, she was cute and she wasn't scared, but she still got eaten, right? But there's nothing, I would say, in both movies that, like, makes that make sense.
Yeah.
There's nothing that makes that make sense. She should not have been killed because she was not scared.
Especially since it was already weakened. Like,
yeah.
The first movie, when they were kids, they weakened it a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
so
obviously...
he wasn't at full power here, and he's just all, like, able to eat that girl anyway. Able to eat that, like, full grown man.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the first, like, incident is a callback to how the cyclical nature of Pennywise, right? Is that he is alive, preys on individuals, and then there's a moment of momentous violence and death that satisfies him, and then he goes to sleep and comes back like 27 years later and is incited by a moment of violence, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so in this case, in the modern, or quote-unquote modern, like the adult timeline, is he is incited by this moment of violence, you know, and to a degree, obviously, it's amplified by... What?
Just to clarify, by the moment of violence, you're talking about like the opening of the movie? Where
yeah.
The, okay.
Is amplified by, like, it's not just like someone getting beat up, right? It's narratively, it's given more weight because it's like it's a moment of like homophobic violence that, you know, is that he like clamps on and obviously like eats that dude. Whereas in the past it was like racial violence that like ignited his like feeding frenzy, you know.
Yeah, but like the feeding and what incites the feeding is cyclical itself, because like it is causing a lot more hatred in the townsfolk.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, as it's coming to power, all these people are, like, more affected. Like, there's the burning, and then there was the hate crime, which, like, it affected and also fed from.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so it's weird. Like, that is, I would say, a particular sticking point in it. Two is like that girl getting killed. Like that doesn't make any sense. I can't.
Well, I mean, so the only way, like, I
okay, I don't know. Like, I don't know if it was supposed to be comedic effect, but it did. It was subversive. Like, it was like, oh, I didn't expect that.
He did sort of play on like so. I will, like, I'm gonna try to create an argument
yeah.
for it, although I don't know if I wholeheartedly believe it. Which is like, she was like, I'm stronger than this. I'm moving away. And then his whole argument was like, nobody likes me because of my face.
Yeah, you got an ugly face too, don't you, little girl?
And then she was like, oh shit, I empathize with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so she turned away. So to me, it seemed like the methods also changed. So instead of being like an outward attack of like, hey, like, you're a fat boy or whatever, he was doing a Ben, or like, oh, you stuttered a Bill or whatever. Like, it became like, at least in this one case, it was, I know you're insecure about this thing, so I'm going to try to create, like, an empathetic bond with you
mm-hmm.
and abuse that to get to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that also, to me, spoke about, like, his strategy changing. Because, like, there's that one scene where he's, like, looking at the Bill Hader character, which is named Richie.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, like, nobody wants to play with him anymore. Like, people are, like, already inherently distrustful.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, those two scenes... to me, can create the sense in which it's like, oh, okay, so now, like, it's not easy for him to get prey anymore, because nobody, like, is like, hey, a clone, we'll go fucking hang out with it.
Mm.
It's like, oh, he has to create, like, an empathetic bond with these people, and that's a lot harder to do than just scaring them.
Yeah, to make people feel alone and hopeless first, like, saying that Ben was gonna die alone, Richie was the one who's gonna love him, a little girl's not gonna have any friends.
Yeah.
It just wasn't really, like, a concrete...
No, it wasn't solidified very well. Like,
yeah.
I feel like I had to, like, pull at straws to get that.
Yeah, because what was then the setup for the boy in the festival?
That was all just to hurt Bill.
Okay, but you can't say, like...
He's trying to trigger Bill.
Okay, but you can't say that he, like, because that was, he still, like, killed that boy, though, like, and, like, the pattern of, like, how he kills is that he instills a certain sense of, like...
But we don't know, so I'll say this, like, in good storytelling, there's occlusion, and, I mean, in any storytelling, there's occlusion, because you can't, like, follow every rabbit hole down its path, and the boy's story wasn't that important to the narrative of Bill. Like, the boy did admit that, like, Pennywise had been talking to him
mm-hmm.
in the bathtub. We don't know, like, what fears Pennywise was playing on that kid or what he was doing with that kid, because we never saw anything from that kid's perspective. It was always from Bill's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah, they didn't really establish the boy's narrative, but, like, I didn't feel like that was as problematic, because it felt like Pennywise is pulling the strings over here, and we don't really need to see it because he's pulling strings in all these different places that we don't really get to see. We just see it from the perspective of the main characters, the protagonist.
Yeah, I just saw the boy as, like, a stand-in for Georgie to make Bill feel bad.
I mean, sure, like, I am, that is not a problem for me to see either. I guess I'm just, like, I'm looking for the validation of, like, the girl problem,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And, like, how it is actually feeding off of its victims.
Yeah.
Yeah. The it character didn't have much character development in the second one.
Yeah. Yep.
There wasn't, like, exposition onto, like, the mechanics of it in this one as much as there was in the first one.
Yeah, like, the first one at, like, the end, when it's, like, it has its moments where, like, it doesn't feed because it doesn't get enough, like, fear.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, like, salient. It's very tangible, and it's, like, its reactions are, like, desperate and, like, what am I trying to say? Not, like, subtle, but, like, desperate.
Yeah.
You know? Like, when he's, like, trying to eat Eddie, right? Like, when, is it Eddie that, like, falls through the second story and breaks his arm?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's, like, he does this whole, like, walk, and he's, like, getting terrified and stuff, and then, like, it senses when the boys up in the second floor, like, break its illusion, and it doesn't eat it. He doesn't eat Eddie. He, like, turns and, like, cuts, fucking, what's his name?
Bill?
Bill. No, not Bill.
No.
The fat kid.
Bill.
Ben.
Oh, Ben. Yeah, sorry.
But it's such a, like, desperate act, right? Because it's, like, up until this point, there's a lot of theater, there's a lot of, like, drawing out of, like, long fears.
Well, that echoes in this movie, too. Like, Eddie's...
Not with those kids, though, that I'm talking about, right? Like, not with the girl, not with the boy. There's no, like... There's
well,
not
they were never a cohesive group. They're always, like, solitary.
Okay.
Like, all these kids always... were together. If,
mm-hmm.
They might have been separated, but they're still, like, subgroups of the larger group.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the theme about the whole thing was that, like, how the friendship and they're all, like, their connections to each other overcame this thing that could have taken them out if they were by themselves.
That's where they're coming
from. But
yeah.
I don't think that it was I never got the sense that, like, it had to do that because of this group. My interpretation was this, it did this because that was its nature.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah, but its nature collided with the fact that these kids were a group and that they, like, stood together against it.
Okay, but that doesn't...
Like, the little boy was by himself. The little girl went off by herself. Mm-hmm. Like, her mother didn't give a shit about her. The little boy's parents weren't really there. Like, they all wander off by themselves and get consumed. Whereas, like, the little kids in the first half, like, the first part, they're all a cohesive group and they're always doing things together. They stick together. Like, that... To me, that was, like, the theme is, like, oh, their bonds of friendship overcome, like, this threat because they all care for each other and are there for each other.
Okay.
Like, that didn't happen with any of the other examples you're listing.
Well, even when Georgie was killed, it didn't really play off of his fears that much. He was, like, tempted into the sewer with smells of popcorn and shit.
Yeah, I think most of the other deaths in both examples are just, like, people who didn't have anybody that gave a shit about them.
Mm. Oh.
And that was kind of what it was about, at least for me.
I get that. So anyways, it was a cool movie. I liked it.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun.
It was a lot funnier than it was scary.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yes.
Well, like, Veronica does not like scary movies, and, like, I had to convince
heavily
her.
Heavily protested to seeing this film today.
I did not have any projector scene moment in this new movie.
What's that mean?
In the first movie,
uh-huh.
With the projector scene, when they're in the garage and they're watching, like, the slideshow.
Oh,
show.
Yeah, that
like,
was
that
fucking
was my
good.
Quintessential moment of, like, fuck this movie for, like, the first time I saw it with my cousin in the theater, I did a fucking, oh, shit, like, I did a reaction, you know, like, a physical, like, you watching me, like, I freaked out for a second kind of moment, and it was so good, like,
yeah.
Like, the initial, like, shock, and then, like, it builds, like, for seconds after that.
Yeah.
It felt so fucking good. And then, I watched it a second time, and I obviously, I knew it was coming, but I still had, like, that affect of, like, fuck, this, like, moment is, like, so fucking, like, ugh, so good, like, it gets me, you know?
Yeah.
I did not have anything like that this time.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm giving the filmmakers too much credit. Like, I might be, like meta-gaming this, or, like, just, like, thinking they did a really good job, or it was just, like, my own biases and perceptions. But, like, in the first movie, they did a really good job of capturing, like, childhood fear.
Mm-hmm.
And being like, oh, like, because like, that was a way scarier movie than this one.
Yeah.
In this one, all the scary things seemed kind of absurd, and, like...
It was super absurd.
Yeah, but I think that was intentional. At least I hope it was. Because, like, that's how, like, as adults, we overcome fear, right? Like, we look at it, we think it's absurd, and then we move on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whereas children, these things, like, hold a lot of weight. They're consequential. Like, the dark is scary. Like, at least for me, it was.
Mm-hmm.
I was scared of aliens and shit. Now it's like, I don't, you know, like, I can, like, I wake up in the middle of the night, I go pee, I don't turn on the light. It's
mm-hmm.
fine. And I think the process of that is, like, really turning your fears into, like, something is, like, it's like that stupid, I think I turned over to Sarah during the movie and I was like, oh, it's like that, like in Harry Potter, that spell Ridiculous, where like
the Bogart,
yeah, it's like that's another like kind of theme or point I thought the movie was making, is that like as you get older you're just like, this isn't that scary, like fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it can't affect me, it's just in my head.
Yeah, and I did really appreciate that, like the way that the movie flexed between like the adult timeline and its like flashbacks, essentially, it didn't need this like sweeping like cinematic like whoosh into like your
yeah.
past. Like
transitions
were
really
yeah, the
yeah.
transitions were so smooth and did not feel forced.
There was
the
one
was
where he like falls down.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the camera goes down to see him, and then, it, like, you hear sounds. This is where, like, the sound design and the cinematography all, like, synced. Like, I think that was another really good transition where,
yeah.
like, Ben falls in as an adult. It goes down, and, like, the camera pans down and looks at him. It starts, like, you hear noises coming from above. The camera pans up to look at the noises, and then Beverly's, like, teenage heel comes down. And then, like, all the kids come back down into the same space,
yeah.
but it's, like, rejuvenated, and it's in the past, and you're just like, oh, there's no cut.
Mm-hmm.
It just, it happened, and now they're, like, in the past. And then from there, it went from, like, that was going on, then the ball falls in between, like, the little, like, pallet.
Mm-hmm.
And so Eddie knocks the ball into the pallet while fucking with that kid who killed himself, Stan. And then a hand goes down to pick up the ball, but when it comes back out, it's, like, dirty. And it's like, oh, that's the ball from, like, 27 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's Eddie picking it up. Also, the casting, like, the way that the adult actors look so similar, some
so
of them.
Good.
To
Eddie,
the,
like,
yeah.
So fucking
was that his
good.
Older
right.
It,
like, the mannerisms were there.
It's
like,
crazy.
The acting and the casting, just, like, I feel like as a movie, a lot of, like, the acting, the casting, the lighting, like, all the things synergize so well in a way that, like, usually it's, like, you see, I mean, if we're just talking about the casting, you see, like, a kid and then the adult, and you're, like, okay, I guess I'll buy it. Like, I think in the original, was it, like, Seth Green, and then it's like some really tall, like gaunt guy, and like Seth Green did not grow up to look like that guy.
Yeah.
Like.
Grew up to like some tall, skinny nerd with
and,
like brownish hair.
And like the guy who played Ben, that was the most impressive one. Like Ben was like a chubby kid, but like his eyes looked the same.
Yeah, he had the same brow.
Yeah, he grows
he's
up
so
and he had like
hot.
The same expressions.
Oh my god!
Oh my god. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, no, it was really good. Not just like casting, obviously, but also just like the actors like deserve the credit of like looking at the very distinguishable child actors. Like they deserve a slice of that too, because like they developed these characters that were, I'll say like iconic enough. You know, like
mm-hmm.
they had the mannerisms to pull from, and then like translate into these adult characters that were like instantly recognizable.
One thing I noticed was that when I think it was like Ben Hader's character, Richie.
Ben Hader.
Yeah.
Is that his name?
Bill
Hader.
Bill Hader.
It played
Richie.
Richie.
His name is Bill?
Bill Hader, yeah.
All right, Bill Hader. He played
he
Bills. So, like, he sees the death of his character, and it says, like, 2016 as the end date. I don't know what, like, the order that these things were filmed or the order that they were cast. But, like, I feel like the adult cast... Like, they must have done them both in conjunction. I guess what I'm saying, that's a big unknown
for me.
I
thought that, too. Like, they just did this as a big project, and they were like, all right,
yeah.
these are the kids, and these are the adults.
Yeah.
Before shooting happened.
Yeah. They had, like, because they're so aligned, and
yeah.
it was so well done.
The
music.
Little Richie, like, in a year, puberty hit him hard. He looks bad.
Oh, the kid from
Wolfhard.
Is that why they had like straight up CG version? Because that looked bad.
Which one?
That looked bad. I think there was the moment in the like hovel, right? Like the fucking paddle like moment. Like
that was
weird. He looked.
That
was CG him.
CG.
Wasn't it?
That did not look real.
It didn't look real to me. Like I was like on the fence. I was like, that looks like that might not be that kid.
I was just too thrown off by Eddie being all like ADD.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't paying attention to how Richie looked.
I felt
like what the fuck is wrong with this kid? Like what is his personality?
Is that my part where he slaps him with his foot?
No, when he's like paddling the paddle ball. I thought he looked not real.
He looked fake. He looked really weird.
Yeah.
I didn't notice.
I thought he looked weird. I was like, I guess maybe he age too much, and they were like, I can't have you look like that kid.
Now?
Yeah, they had to like age him back.
Well, I mean, yeah, have you seen how that kid looks now?
No, I don't. I didn't, so...
Watch Stranger Things Season 3.
Oh.
It's
disgusting.
It's gross.
Oh.
Is he the Demogorgon?
Spoilers.
He could be.
Could be, yeah. Dude, the best part of Stranger Things Season 3 was like,
Steve,
and what's her name?
I don't know.
What's good about Steve?
Uma Thurman's daughter.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, there's... So they introduce a new character who is a lesbian... But
oh.
you don't know until the end. Like, you don't know until later.
Spoilers.
So, you're not going to watch it. And if you did, it's too late. So,
it's too late.
Yeah, it's been like 6 months. Grow the fuck up. So, anyways. Do you remember Steve?
The hair.
The guy with the hair.
Just
he's like Nancy's boyfriend.
I have no idea. I watched the first season when it came out, and I haven't watched anything since.
Was a
so, describe whatever you want.
Douche.
Like, I don't know who you're talking about.
She did it really well. Was the douche. He's no longer a douche. He's like the older sister's boyfriend.
Demogorgon? I know the Demogorgon.
No, now you're not even trying.
I literally do not know the names of
the older
characters.
Sister's
Sorry.
Boyfriend, the Demogorgon? No.
The older sister's boyfriend.
Yeah.
Has big hair.
Yeah, okay, you
nope.
don't know what we're talking
why,
about. It's fine.
Yeah, why are we talking about
Steve?
Because it said someone.
What about Steve?
Living?
Oh, because we were talking about how ugly that kid became, and then I was
and
like, oh, that guy was really good in that movie, or that show. That's it.
It's cool.
Just checking
I should see it. Should I see it?
Nah.
Oh, okay.
You should see if there's an edited version online with
uh-huh.
just Steve's story. That'd probably be a good movie by itself.
They're really milking it.
Yeah.
It's shitty.
Come on, why is this still the same problem? You keep fixing it, and you're not doing it. Like, oh, well, the Russians came by and did stuff.
Well, Winona Ryder needs another year. And so do these kids.
Be like, my kids!
Yeah, it's just weird. Like,
okay. It's so gross, because, like, these kids, they're like a... It's like an inverse of, like, the boat with the hole in the bottom where water keeps coming in. It's like time and age is just affecting these children, and it's sinking, but it's not. They're just growing up.
Disgusting.
It's gross.
I don't know what happened.
How dare they age? Why is it gross? Just because they can't solve the problem, or just because they're getting older? What makes it gross?
Because, like, the whole... Hold on a sec.
That's
all right.
Makes it gross.
Wait a sec.
I haven't seen Stranger Things.
Sorry.
Season 3.
They all look stupid. One. Two.
Is that
like,
just puberty?
They all look stupid, and they're all rubbing up.
Yeah. The charm of the first season was that they were children.
Absolutely.
Oh, are they all getting into puberty now and, like, having...
Literally,
things?
That's what
like,
we just
what?
Said.
They're gross.
That's what we've just been
gross.
Saying. Oh, they're getting older. They're getting gross. And then we're like, oh, well,
oh,
they
yeah,
used to be kids.
Puberty?
Oh, is
yes.
it because of puberty? Yeah, that's what we literally just said.
They didn't
they
specify specifically
they can fix
enough.
It with grooming. They can fix
what happens after childhood, Veronica? Do
Come
I
on.
Have to spell it out for you?
Yes.
Rosemary's Baby. Just get rid of one of them. I'm sure there's a cute one involved somewhere.
Dude. They become so disgusting looking. It is so gross.
The fucking waffles.
They all become like Bran
right?
Starks.
Waffles.
What are you talking
Eggos.
About?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's not really a big. She likes kissing more than she likes Eggos.
I'm pissed.
Who?
I'm not gonna watch
11?
It.
What?
I'm not gonna watch it.
What?
Yeah,
I'm
no.
Not gonna watch
yeah,
it.
Don't watch it.
It's
11 like it becomes boyfriends with
gross.
That guy, the kid from It.
The kid who gives a shit about her.
No,
the
kid
series?
Who takes advantage of born
yeah.
sexy yesterday little girl so that he can, like, rub his dick against her. Their relationship is fucking wrong.
Yeah.
I'm gonna definitely watch it now.
It's not good.
I'm still gonna watch it.
Yeah, watch it. I don't give a fuck. You already
yeah,
pay for
it.
Netflix. It's not like they're gonna make more money because you watch it.
I mean, okay.
It is really shitty. Like, the only good part of that is Steve's story.
Yeah, I mean, we watched the entire thing. So there's, like,
something to be said. I like how we're arguing with people who haven't seen it.
Yeah,
mostly
well,
you. He's like taking it. Like, oh, I know. Like, it anyways.
I'm not going to be like, I'm not going to watch it. Like, I'm definitely going
to
watch it.
But we're
it.
Not convincing you not to watch it
what
because
you
already haven't.
What watch is How to Get Away with Murder. Have you watched that show?
No.
It's so stupid and awesome. I love it.
No.
Yeah.
What you should watch is 90 Day Fiancé.
Oh, no.
Have you seen that show?
Yes, I have.
It is crazy.
I have good enough friends to have introduced me to this program of cultural significance, yes.
Excellent.
Yeah. Good times. No.
What was the show you were talking about, like Cake Fantasy Extreme?
That is...
That's my cakery.
A homophobic assumption. Just because I'm like,
no,
gay, you're like,
no,
oh,
because
like,
she watches
about,
British
you're
Bake Off.
About some fucking
oh
show.
My god!
Wow,
like it's not the '90s. I don't call gay people
what
cakes.
A, what a
what? Like, what are you talking
what
about?
A leap of
you puff pastry
assumption. It's crazy. You know?
God damn it, Michael! You twisted my words. I wouldn't ever call a gay guy a cake because it's not 1995. Yeah.
That's
yes.
You don't remember Clueless? Your
no.
boy Christian's a cake boy.
Cake boy. You didn't call him cake.
Okay, well, see, I don't even know. So I said cake.
And it's ridiculous because by now, talking about a gay guy's cakes is a positive thing.
Well, you know, what's disgusting to me is like cakes don't ever end in non-violence. People are always cutting cakes. And so I feel like that's really an attack.
Or filling cakes. You're filling and you're eating cakes.
True.
That's what you do with them.
Mm. Wait, is that good or bad?
It's rotting.
Good.
Very good.
Oh, it's good. Okay.
Well, unless you're a burglar, then you absolutely do not want to be eaten.
What are you filling them with?
Cream.
Mmm.
That was a quick draw.
When you know, you know.
No, I hate cake. Not like
you're
that
like,
kind of cake.
Oh, we're back to it. Wow. All right.
You know, like,
so you weren't going to call them that, but you do hate them. So, like...
I hate cake that's, like, sweet and fluffy.
Oh, so So gays have no substance. That's what we're getting at.
No Perfect. Nutritional value.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of
amazing.
Carbs and sugar.
Amazing. Can't believe it.
It's a bunch, bunch of fluff.
Wow. Oh, like poofs. That's what we're going. Oh, so now we're back to the British slurs.
Well, I'm going
so
to London.
He's talking about how he's not British, like, interested, but he certainly knows the slurs. I guess that.
Not British interested?
That's
yeah,
what,
fucking.
Hello? Were we not just talking about how he's like, oh, I don't care about, like, British shows? Like.
I'm anglophobic.
So much hate that we're discovering on Nerdy Third and 30. So if you have a moment where you'd like to get. Where you'd like to get a drink, a snack, or
cake,
feel free to take a moment amongst yourselves and you know go ahead and grab
that.
Are
you
that
really saying you want a moment to go get
we'll go ahead
another drink?
And take a moment here, and we'll be back with you in just
a
moment.
To get a date.
Do, 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 do. This is a break. And we're back, and our topic for part two of the podcast is trashy butt pics. And Michael's got a song for us about trashy butt pics. He's gonna go ahead and sing it for us. Keep going.
On the internet.
In my bed.
In the garbage can. When I touched your can.
Trashy butt pig.
You said you can. Since I did.
I got the consent.
Oh, the trashy is the butt in town.
You are the trashiest butt around.
Please don't frown.
I want you around me.
Trashy butt pics, you astound me.
Me.
We're like, it's like live from here. Formerly known as, what was it called? Like This American Life or something?
Tiny coffee table concert.
Tiny desk concert.
No, not tiny desk concert. the Prairie Home Companion.
We are not Prairie Home Companion.
This is barely Home Companion.
It's like Bedside Companion.
This is down the street, we didn't make it home, basically trying to find our way back, companion. Our internet essentially has, we only have data enough to record this, we don't have enough for the Google.
This is our last testament.
Direction. So hopefully that whoever's hearing this will eventually be entertained enough to reach out and find our way back. Because at the moment, we're basically just sitting on the side of the road. We've got a couple guitars.
Trashy butt nomads.
Yeah, and we're trashy butt nomads.
We have nothing else to offer.
So...
Speak for yourself.
Just gotta trash something else to offer, that's for sure. So hopefully what you're hearing now is what you wanted and is enough to... I don't know, reach out. Hopefully you guys got contact info on this, because I don't. Anyways, I don't know where we left off, and I don't know where we're going, but we talked about
butt art.
I think we should
make more songs, because that was really funny.
Yeah. That was butt art.
Your butt art.
I like it. It was called Old Trashy Butthole. What was
it
called?
Trashy Butt Pics.
Okay, trashy butt pics. I'm gonna listen to that. We're gonna actually record that as a song later, not tonight, but at some point.
It's a nugget, as they say. You know?
Yeah, a little nugget of truth.
A little butt nugget.
What delineates a trashy butt pic from a classy butt pic?
Trash.
Oh, Oh.
Yeah, I want to know. Can you define it?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a time-old question of what differentiates a pornographic image versus, like, an artful image, right? I would say a pornographic image is something that is created in a way that not only is provocative, but that its form and function is, I would say, solely erotically like stimulating.
Objection.
Okay.
A lot of the nude studies that you see in like classic art were like commissioned by wealthy merchants for their like smoking rooms. And there are multiple like art historical documents that demonstrate that these paintings were really made just so people would jerk off to them. And so I would say, like, in the moment, they're like, to dismantle the argument, in the moment, their intention was to be for masturbatory purposes. But now we appreciate their craftsmanship as fine art. So, like...
Does that mean that we will revere porn in the future as fine art?
No, probably it doesn't mean anything. But, it, like, history is not the future. Yeah. It can just inform it. Like, we can't make definitive statements about how our pornography will evolve or how it will be perceived in the future, but we can say that, like, these paintings that existed in the past that were constructed or made for pornographic reasons are now viewed as fine art. That doesn't mean that that trend will maintain itself, because, like, it doesn't say... It, just because we recognize that does not mean that all pornography will become fine art.
I would say that... So my first impulse would be to say, like, well, it's so much easier nowadays to look at, like, say, like, 70s pornography, right? And be like, well, why isn't all 70s pornography looked at with a high art, like, eye
it should
nowadays?
Be.
Well, what I would say is, I would argue that there is a certain volume of art created back then for those same purposes that people just don't look at as like artful because they were not, they're just not technically like good, you know, like,
yeah. Okay.
And to a certain degree, like I'm sure there will be at some point somewhere like pulls out like Debbie Does Dallas, you know, or something and says like, you know what?
This was actually
really fucking incredible. And like it has, and there will be like from like a percentage, you know, basis, like some amount that gets pulled out and appreciated. And it is not at all indicative of just like the act of like we look back and be like, oh, they were true artists. Like, I mean, sure, like you can, it's about like the eye that views it more so than like the nature of like the intent. And I said that at the initial description, not intending that the discussion to go, but it's like it has to. I would say it totally has to, because it's just like
I just want to add, I think that like now we're I mean, not now, but we have been since our whole lifetimes approaching a moment in history in which like the past has been archived sufficiently and then become indexed in such a way that like we can access it. Sarah, take a little sip to be polite. Don't be mean to Michael. So like if you look at the way that information and media becomes is curated now, is like it's all indexed and it's all easily accessible, and so it makes it a lot easier for like people who are like artistically motivated or artistically critical curators to take any form of media that's been archived, like, do enough research and then curate it and put it in a gallery.
Yeah. I wonder if, to, like, a certain degree, like, because, I mean, it's undoubtedly true. It's undoubtedly true.
Don't apologize. Sir.
That there...
She's being mean.
That the...
Just kidding, I'm fucking with you.
Accessibility of anything, right? The knowledge of anything is so much more accessible than in any other age. But I wonder if, like, in reality, the actual amount of people that are, like, pulling this info, right? Like, people who study art,
yeah,
you know? The amount of people is, like, different enough to validate, like, a cultural shift in a way, you know? Like,
do you mean by the number of people, like, as far as, like, volume? Like, are you talking about total number, or are you talking about, like, population percentage?
Yeah.
Which one?
Yeah. Because I know, like, it's not, like, art history, like, in the study of and the utilization of, like, historical art knowledge, looked exactly the same, you know, like,
I gotta go lay down.
200 years
no.
ago.
No.
Sarah! Oh.
Sarah gives up.
Yeah.
Sarah gives up on the esoteric conversations.
I miss you already.
Oh.
Get out of here,
goodbye.
Fucking baby.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
We're gonna play all this music.
Get boom
ball.
No.
Art without you.
Yeah, we're doing it.
Sarah said no.
Obviously, it looks different, you know? But I wonder if, like,
so let's clarify that a little bit. I'm still a little confused on the assertion you're making.
I guess, what am I saying? I'm saying that the... We are drunk. But, I don't know, I feel like we were talking about something that related to our appreciation of how, like, art is created and looked at nowadays in a...
So we were talking... So the way that I remember the conversation is that we were talking about, like... like, we were talking about pornography, and then I was talking about, like... Somebody made the mention that, like... like, fine art wasn't pornography, and then I was like, wait a sec. There are examples in which, like... We can see that people commissioned paintings to
yeah.
be pornography, and then they were put into, like, their smoking rooms. And actually, fine art, like, that we look at now, and, like so here's a really good example of that, right? Like, nudes are permissible in artistic expression and
uh-huh.
not categorized as pornographic.
Uh-huh.
Whereas, like, the nude as a trope became a trope because of the need for pornographic material by people who could commission paintings. So, like, there's a paradox there, right?
Right.
Or at least a hypocrisy that becomes evident. And so, if we look at fine art and say, like, okay, because it's fine art, then the nude figure becomes permissible, but when it's pornographic, it's not, like, and we look at the past and we sort of, like, sanitize it by saying, like, oh, these paintings aren't pornographic, this
uh-huh.
is just, like, an appreciation for the nude body, where, like, in reality, there's people jerking off to those images.
Right.
Because, like, they didn't have internet, they didn't have anything else to jerk
yeah.
off to. We're sort of rewriting history to fit the sensibilities of the present.
Uh-huh.
And then that changed the conversation. So, like, we got to that point, we established that, and then when we said, like, okay, well, I think the point that you made after that was, like, I'm sure somebody now will look at, like, a pornographic
yeah.
material and put it on a pedestal as fine art.
Right.
That's how we got to now.
I don't know how I got to what I was talking about. Basically, I was trying to, like, pull at the strings of, like, how does the depiction of art, or, like, our interpretation of art change over
mm-hmm.
the years? And I was trying to make a point of, like, how modern interpretations of, like, art knowledge are somewhat or at least could be interpreted in a way as, like, somewhat more, I don't know if advanced is the way I want to put it, but, like,
advanced?
Yeah, or, like, the accessibility of, like, the amount of art knowledge is, like, would potentially, like, lend itself to the idea of, like, oh, we have a more articulate or,
Well, I think as a sentence, you can just cross art out of that and just say knowledge, right? Like, any subject, any individual is interested in, they can then accumulate a pretty solid understanding of through research with use of the internet.
Yeah, and I guess, like, the point I was making at the end was, like, to basically say that, like, I wonder if the amount of people that actually do that rivals really, like, any other technological age. If it actually has made a difference.
What do you mean?
Meaning that, like, the versus, like, oh, like, you could have walked into the Library of Alexandria and, like, been privy to, like, an incredible amount of knowledge for that time, right? But it doesn't hold a candle to, like, the amount of knowledge, like, that's available on the internet, right?
Right.
And, like, but, like, has that culturally made a difference in a degree that is calculably different?
So, like, one, we don't have, like, hard data from those times.
Of course.
We can just infer it. Two,
I can just make an argument, and no one can...
No one can refute me.
No one can refute me.
But I think you bring up a really interesting question. Like, what I think you're trying to say is, like, does the access to information net a positive good in the society that has it? Maybe not. Maybe I'm misinterpreting it. Or maybe it's rather, like, what are the effects of having access to...
Yeah, I would say the morality of it is, like, not necessarily something I would be saying. But, like, but yeah, the thrust of that is, like, pretty much what I would say is what I'm interested in.
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. Well, I think... Like, one of the ways it could boil down, at least for me, and I can make an assertion on what I think, is, like, you know, having a more informed perspective is always better than not. Here's the other one. So, what do I mean by that? Why would it be beneficial to know less about the world in any circumstance?
Yeah. I guess, like, because we're talking about it differently in, like, individual aspect versus, like, culturally, right? Like, I'm not saying that if everyone took advantage of it and knew more, that could possibly be a detriment. It's more about, does the accessibility actually have a tangential, like, positive impact? Because just because accessibility is there doesn't necessarily mean that there's a population that is taking advantage of it and, like, informing themselves to a degree that benefits themselves or society, you know? It'd be like... And I know this is politically, like, divisive, but, like, if we took something like fucking climate change, right? And be like, oh, climate change, like, scientific data is out there to provide some basis on opinions, you know? And yet, there would be a vast number of people who will not and will never take the time to look at, like, a study, right? Even, like, a easy to read summary, you know.
I think I understand what you're saying. I think
instead they will take, like, a Twitter feed, you know, because that is an accessible form of in formation.
Oh, so you're talking about...
this is where I've ended up.
No. Actually, you're making a really good point. Like, so, as I understand it, what you're saying is that, like, the access to information theoretically should net a positive good, but since there's no source of truth, and the information can be false,
yeah,
that's problematic, right? Like, so...
Yeah.
Like, we have the research. It's accessible for anybody who wants to find it. But because we have personalities that can leverage social media, they can sway opinions in ways that, like, aren't really based in anything but opinion. So, like, has the internet been a net good?
Mm-hmm.
That's how kind of how I understand
it. Kind of. I mean, it's kind of where I've just ended up. But,
yeah.
I mean, sure. Yeah.
No, that's a really good question. I think Trump is an interesting character to bring this up. Because through the Obama era, like, if you think about how he viewed, like, startups and, like, internet companies through the Obama era, it was always through a lens of, like, optimism and aspirational values. When we looked at, like Google, right? We say, like, oh, Google is... just the indexing of all human knowledge. It's like the sum of all human knowledge made accessible for any person on the planet. It's like a democratization of information. When you look at Facebook or MySpace or social media, Twitter, whatever, it's saying that, like, we can make any voice have the reach of, like what those platforms do for people theoretically is say that, like, I don't have to pay for distribution. Right? Like, everybody's playing on the same field. So, like, the Pepsi account and, like, John Doe theoretically have the same potential reach because, like, on Twitter or on any social media, because it's, like, this level of opinions. But the way that's played out and since, like, during the Obama era, but, like, something that I think we've realized in retrospect, and especially through the Trump era, has been like, well, actually, it's pay to play, and you get distribution. Like initially, the draw was, hey, anybody can get distribution through these channels, and it's egalitarian in nature because look at it, it's the internet, and that's always been like the optimism and the ideal of the internet. But what's happened is as people create platforms, they find ways to monetize those platforms and then make a pay to play for distribution, right? And so when, like, the era that you and I grew up in, maybe you came at the tail end, but I think especially for us was like when the internet was in its formation or in its like pre-state to what it is now, it was a very promising place where, like, grassroots campaigns could be made. The Arab Spring happened, Occupy Wall Street happened, these really big movements that were really enabled by these platforms proliferated around the world. Like, they happened all over the place. And what's happened in the years since is that governments and these institutions have found ways to circumvent those distribution channels. And in also the markets found ways to, like, capture them, hold them to account for marketability and profitability. And then because of that, and because of their reliance on, like, you know, and this is me getting a little bit more, like, left than I usually am, and maybe talking more out of my ass than actual, like, evidence. But what I think has happened is, like, these platforms are still dependent on national currencies. They're still dependent on, like, the infrastructure that was built by nation states, by government agencies, by regulations. And so what we saw as a way to, like, break down barriers between nations and to erase boundaries, erase lines, has really, like, fallen in and become part of the, just, like, the corporate structure of America or part of, like, the capitalist machine.
Yeah.
I
think it's interesting that now, so I'm going to talk from, like, a queer angle.
Sure.
That you're starting to see a certain groundswell of, people, because I can't attribute it to anything else other than popularity. In on platforms like YouTube, which is a Google platform.
IP, yeah.
Yeah. that you're seeing that when now Google shows up or YouTube shows up in Pride events, you know, huge Pride events, you're starting to see their own employees, let alone their some of their hugely popular personalities, start to basically say, like, look, you are advertising, benefiting, and thriving off of the utilization of our community, and yet you will not say anything against the utilization of your platform to spread hate against our community. You know?
Yeah.
Like, you have wildly popular right-wing, conservative, anti-gay, anti-queer, anti-trans channels that are live today, regardless of, like, how much their rhetoric, you know,
is damaging.
Is damaging, but also, like, I would say, I would argue, many people argue, would be very much, very clearly against the policies that you have today, and even more strongly had, like, 2, 3, 5, 10 years ago, you know, when you have, when you built the basis, when you built the value
the
of your
foundation.
Company.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's crazy when you're like, yeah, I mean, this is kind of connecting to like our original conversation of like pornography versus like art, right?
Uh-huh.
I follow a few particular like queer, mostly queer, but it is like also branches out to just like sex education or sex positivity YouTube channels that are almost unilaterally, like every one of their videos is like demonetized on their platform because they are labeled as like pornographic material. When nearly every, I mean, there are a few like the push the button a little bit more because they're like, I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
But like a vast majority of them talked about sex, but did not show
anything
penetration. They
yeah.
didn't show like, you know, anything, you know, they just talked about it.
Right.
And, on the same page, you have like people who are literally like being like, Arab people are fucking raping your women, you know? And it's like, how can like someone just talking about, hey, here are the ways that you should try to be responsible about consent and like, fucking, not getting an STI and like, you know, all this shit. And you demonetize that, but allow people that do that on your platform to literally get paid out.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, you know,
that's
it's like,
really
it's
fucked
crazy.
Up. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, and that's why in this year particular, they've been more aggressive. That like the people that are involved in that more aggressive on like essentially showing up to like San Francisco Pride, basically being like, look. You are literally putting the lives of these corporate sponsors above, like, the people that are, like, on the ground, you know, like, real people, you know. You'd rather take money from, like, a company to, like, have another, like, music stage at your festival rather than say, no, your values do not support a community. We're not going to take your money. You know, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
It's
like there's no moral stand.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. That's where I found a connection.
No, I think you're right. I didn't know about YouTube demonetizing like sexual education channels.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that they still enable like white supremacy people just like or homophobic shit just like being said.
Yeah.
Well, like and the stupid thing is that like those things are framed, I think the way it works is like those things are framed in a different context than what they actually are.
Of course.
And so it's like, oh, because it's labeled as, you know, nobody labels their content as like, oh, white supremacist or homophobic. Like, that's stupid. Nobody would ever do that.
Yeah.
But like, you can label your content like sexual education, and that becomes problematic. It's really stupid.
And that's like where, like, that's where you want it to be, though, because it's like, like, their big argument is like that person creating, I'm gonna say it because it's like it would be important, it's like, what's the safe word, like electricity, WATTS, watts.
Oh, is that like a channel?
Yeah. So watts, the safe word, is like the channel I'm particularly talking about, and the dude's name is Pup Amp. It's like a puppy play kind of guy.
No shit.
Yeah. But like, the reason I'm pointing it out is because he's the one I'm like specifically thinking of in this whole exchange, is that he talks about how, you know, like, him growing up did not have like queer sex education at all. Like, I didn't have a great one, but I do remember growing up as a person in California, coastal California, there was talk about, you know, gay people, at least, you know. Mm-hmm. I definitely had to learn a lot on my own, but like, but at least it was brought up, you know, for like a lot of people throughout like America, more conservative areas, like, there is not a consideration of like, let's talk about what sexual health means for you, you know. And the idea of like basically being like, at least if we create a platform where, you know, there, it's there, you know, so like a 15-year-old could
access it.
Yeah, a 15-year-old could jump on YouTube and be like, what's butt sex about, you know, like, how, like, what do I need to know to prevent myself from hurting myself or someone else,
or like, I mean, it doesn't even be the like preventing damage, just as you be like, what do I need to know to enjoy the life the way I want to enjoy
exactly
it?
Yeah,
fuck it being about safety.
Sure.
Like, it just has to be about like, I want to learn about life.
Yeah, being able to see it in a way that, not like, I hate the word, like,
it's
normalizing, but yeah like, it, to not demonize it, to create a way to see that there is pleasure in just you wanting this, and, you know, like, that's super important, you know?
I mean, I honestly get why it gets framed under, like, the, well, we're keeping children from hurting themselves, because that's, like, how we have to appeal to breeders.
Yeah.
But, like, it should just really be about, like, how to enjoy your own life the way you want to fucking enjoy it.
And, I mean, and this kind of, like, makes a roundabout kind of description or, like, connection to, they taught, I learned about, you know, like, art school, fucking art school. I learned about the,
you went to art school in this room.
Fucking art school, you know, fucking artist. No, but yeah, just the idea of, like, Ars Erotica, right? The idea that there is education and, like, media or just resources out there that are meant to depict, like, sexuality in a way that is positive as, like, pleasure, but also positive as in, like, educational, which isn't, like you're saying, just, like, medical, right?
Yeah.
And that is largely deficient in modern age. That's,
like demonstrative versus, like, prescriptive.
Yeah, that's, like, not Kant, fucking, it's another K.
Are you channeling Louis?
What?
Kenty? No.
Kenty big cunt snack?
What's the philosopher name? I don't know.
I missed the context.
Drunk.
Not Kant.
Fucking.
Cunning Bergstein Burger.
I wanted to sound smarter than a man.
Floyd?
No, not fucking Floyd.
Alright, well, you've heard another episode of Nerdy Board in Almost 30. This is like a 3-hour thing now.
No, we're too drunk.
What do you mean, no? I'm stopping the conversation.
Yeah.
It's already happening.